Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, babe, what you got there?
This is a check from Carvana. I just sold my car to them. I went online and Carvana gave me an offer right away. Then they just picked up the car and gave me this.
Oh, that's a big check. Well, obviously you could put this towards your next car, or we could finally get that jacuzzi, or I could start taking tuba lessons, or I could quit my job and write my memoir.
Or I can put it towards my next car with Carvana.
Sorry, your check, not mine.
Sell your car to Carvana. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get a real offer in seconds.
Welcome to Mystery Bible. We have been studying Abraham. In the Christian sect, we call him Father Abraham, the father of faith. We have been looking at his life in increments, and now we are going to focus from age 75 until age 78. We are going to take a look. I'm going to give you a brief oversight as to what he did from that time, and then we're going to break it down and go through step by step. So far we've studied from when he was born all the way to when he showed up to us at age 75 in the Bible in Genesis chapter 12. So in Genesis chapter 12, we see him where he departs from Haran. God calls him and says, "Leave your people. Come, I'll make you a father of many nations." Now, this call that God has placed on his life, this was not the first time that God had spoken to him concerning this. It was the first time that we saw it in the Bible. And I have pointed out that to you earlier in his life. And so we're gathering a lot of his previous life before age 75 from the book of Yasher, which gives us detail as to what's happening. Also, the book of Jubilees also have some information. You'll read also the book of, Josephus, that Josephus wrote. That carries some of the stories as well are in there. But we are going to focus, as I said, 75 through 78. He goes to Egypt in 75 because of a famine. There's a couple of incidents happening there in Egypt where he lies. He gives Pharaoh takes Sarah, and there's a couple of things happen there when he leaves. Pharaoh gives him Hagar. 76, he returns to Cana with Lot, and that's in Genesis chapter 13. And we see also that's when him and Lot separated, and Lot goes his way, Abraham goes his way. At the age of 78, he rescues Lot, and he goes and fight against a couple of giants. Age 78 also, we see here, he's in Hebron, and God comes and talks to him then. So that's what we're going to be tracking, and we're going to go into his life, and we're going to pull out all the details that we need from it. We're going to extrapolate all of the wisdom, the insights, so that you and I can become better human spirits. We'll be right back after this message. Welcome back to Mystery Bible. We are going to take a look and try our best to see if we can finish to get to age 78, but I doubt it. There's so much happening in this man's life at this time but let's go ahead and try, and I don't want to rush it. If we have to do two episodes, we'll do two. So here we are in Genesis chapter 12, and this is what we see in the Bible. "Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from your kindred and your father's house unto the land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And so we see this blessing that I mentioned to you guys about. This is where we see this. We saw this a couple of times. We saw it in Adam. We saw it in Noah. And it picks up here with Abram. And there's a reason why God wants this blessing to go through the seed. And most of us don't pay attention to this, but this is a profound thing. This blessing is seen. People know about it. And it is a powerful thing that has been residing, and it falls through to Christ. It goes through to every believer. I will bless you and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So we've talked about his father was a idol worshiper. He was in Nimrod's court. We talked about all of those things. And so we see here that God calls Abram, and he begins to talk to him. Abram leaves, and he follows God, and he takes him by his word, faith, and he begins to leave. He took Lot and Sarah, and they left Sarai at the time. Sarai was 66 years at this time. And so he took his family out, and he's gone. He's leaving. And the Bible tells us that it says that Abram took his wife and Sarah and Lot, his brother's son, and they and their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And we talked about those when he was given those by Nimrod and Nimrod's men. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, into the land of Canaan they came. I need to talk to you guys about the land of Canaan. When Noah and his family had decided to separate the land and to divvy up the land of Canaan actually rightfully belonged to the children of Israel. It belonged to them. And Canaan's son, had actually stole it from them. And they addressed him. They actually spoke to him. Ham and his brothers told him, don't do this, man. This is not good that you're doing this. We made a promise before Noah and the covenant. We made a covenant. Don't do this, because if you do this, you're going to be in trouble. And eventually they did. So this, God wasn't taking anything away from or stealing anything away from other people. This was their land. This was their promised land that was divvied up to the children of Israel. And as I mentioned to you, they took it. Canaan took it. And that's why he named the place against him. Give it his name. And this place was really a beautiful place. God was just giving it back to them. You can find that information. It is in the book of Yasher, and I should have bring that to you guys' attention when they were divvying up that land, because this was what it was all about, getting back that land that Canaan and his descendants had stolen from them. And God said he would just give that back to them. And so this was their promised land, and that's where that it was promised to them through Noah. And when they cast the lots, and Canaan, as I mentioned, he stole it, and so God was bringing them back to their promised land that was given to them. And so that is what that is. And I wanted to bring that to you guys' attention before we step out and go into all the other things. And we see that Abram, as he began to leave his father's land, he now begins to pass through
Canaan. And so Abram passed through the land of the place of Shechem unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanites was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, unto thy seed will I give this land. And they built an altar unto the Lord, and who appeared unto him. So Abram builds an altar after God comes to say, I'm going to give your people this land. And it was not until Joshua and Caleb and the crew that came out of after the wilderness, where the generation that was in Egypt died out, the new generation went and got that land. And so we see that this promise that God had given to him, he did not get it, but his children, his descendants did. As we continue reading, and he removed from thence into the mountain east of Bethel and pitched a tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still towards south. And so he's here, he's hanging out, and there came a famine. And the famine caused him, the famine was so great, he had to leave there and head out to Egypt. And so, but what I don't think I'll be able to do age 78, but let's go anyway. As he began to go into Egypt, he realizes something. He notices the beauty of his wife. And I'll read that part of it in because I want to use the Bible, but I'm still going to be going into the other books to gather some of the other truths and details, behind the scenes information. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. This other books said that this woman's beauty was well known, and that Sarai was such a beautiful woman that she was well known around the plain and so forth. So he's heading into Egypt, and we're going to read some information as to the way Egypt behaved at the time, and so we'll understand why he did what he did. Okay, why the Egyptian did at the time, and why he did what he did. And so he comes up to Sarai, and he has this lie. He cocked up this story. He says to her, yo, when we get into Egypt, you are not my wife, because if they know that you're my wife, they're going to kill me. So you are my sister. So he comes up with this story that you are my safe sister, so that we could come out of this place alive. So I pray thee that thou, my sister, this is verse 13, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of you. So he's afraid, basically, and because he's afraid, he now is causing this woman to lie. And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptian beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house, and he entered Abram well for her. He entreated him well for her sake, and he gave him wealth, sheep, oxen, he asses, man servant, and maid servant, and she asses and camel. So here he is again, accumulating wealth. I keep talking to you guys about the blessing, and I'm going to go through that. But I wanted to bring to you some of the things and show you that this blessing, the Bible tells you what it is. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without any painful toil. And so we are seeing the manifestation of this thing in this man's life. We saw it when he was before Nimrod and Nimrod's princes and sorcerers and all those things. After he stood up, he was in this, we talked about that. They gave him wealth. And so he's accumulating wealth because I mentioned previously before that he was with Noah and Shem for 39 years. He came out on the scene. He's 49, 50. So he doesn't have that much wealth. Lot, he had gained the wealth from his father after his father died. So Abram was accumulating the wealth through the blessing of God. And the blessing is, as I mentioned to you, that people began to give him all of this stuff. And so we're seeing it manifest in his life as he goes on. So he gives him all of these stuff. And then the Bible tells us that in verse 17, that the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said unto him, "Why is this? That what is this thing that you have done? You didn't tell me that this is your wife. You said this is your sister, and therefore, behold, that's why I took her." So he says, "Take your wife and get out of here." He says, "Take your wife and everything that we've given to you and get out." And so the Bible tells us that they left. And I'm going to give you some backstory because there's a lot happening there that the Bible didn't talk about, but yet it is important in everything that took place. We see that this is where Abram picked up Sarah. It was actually Pharaoh had given Hagar, his daughter, to Sarai because of her beauty as her slave. And this is where she was given, and it was that's why we pick up and we see that she offered Abram her later on in the story. But all of this information is given to us, and we're going to go and grab some of it and talk about that as we go along and begin to take a good look. So I mentioned that piece about the land because I wanted you guys to understand that that land, Canaan land, was stolen by Ham and his brothers. It was, Canaan saw that this part was good, and this was the, if you look and you see the lineage when I studied that separation of the people, the brothers with Noah. And this was where that came from. And so this was all of their people, the Jewish people's land that was stolen from them by Canaan. And God was giving it back. And that was that whole battle that ensued as a result. So Abraham is now in Egypt. Okay. And this famine came down on there. And it tells us that he went into Egypt. He comes to Sarah, he lies, he tells her to lie. So as she lied, then all hell broke loose in Pharaoh's house. So I'm going to go and read to you a piece of information from some of my studies, and it will give you more of a backstory as to what happened at Pharaoh's palace when he took Sarah. It tells us that what happened was an angel that came when they brought her before Pharaoh, and as he began to talk to her, whatever, the angel was there talking to her, telling her, "Don't worry about it, I got it under control, and that he's not going to touch you." And he went that night. He put together a marriage paper, and he wants to get married. And so he's trying now to go to her, going to her, and the angel comes. And every time he tries to touch her, the angel will hit him, and hit him on his hands, hit him on his foot, anything that he tried to touch her, he would prevent him from touching her. And then what happened was a plague fell on the family and all of his men. And that plague that fell, it fell roughly about the same time that they just believed that the plague fell when when we had the plague with the children of Israel in Egypt, with Moses. So we're going to talk about all of this stuff because this is really fascinating, man. We're going to take a break and then we'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Mystery Bible. So here we are. I'm going to just give you this piece that I talked about the land of Canaan being the rightful land of the children of Israel. After the partition of the earth among the sons of Noah, when all had gone to their allotted position, it happened that Cana, son of Ham, saw that the land extended from the Lebanon to the river of Egypt was fair to look upon, and he refused to go to his own allotment westward by the sea. He settled in the land upon Lebanon eastward and westward from the border of Jordan and the border of the sea. And Ham, his father, and his brothers Cush and Mizraim spoke to him and said, "Thou livest in a land that is not yours, for it was not assigned unto us where the lot were drawn. Do not do this. But if thou persistest, you and your children will fall accused in the land in a rebellion. Your settlement here was rebellion, and through rebellion your children will be felled down, and your seed will be destroyed unto all land in a rebellion. Thy settling here was rebellion, and through rebellion your children will fell down, and thy seed will be destroyed unto all eternity. Sojourn not in the land of Shem, for unto Shem and unto his children of Shem was it appointed by lot. Accused art thou, and accused wilt thou be before all the children of Noah, on account of the curse. For we took an oath before the holy judge and before our father Noah. But Canaan hearkened not unto the words of his father and his brother. He dwelt in the land of Lebanon from Hamath even unto the entrance of Egypt. He and his son, through the Canaanites, had taken unlawful possession of the land. Yet Abram, so we see that this piece of property was rightfully belonged to the children of Israel. And so God comes and he says to Abram, this is going to be given back to you. So we're going to pick up again about this story in with Abram. And it is believed that Abram, he was the one that brought the knowledge of astrology to Egypt, and which in that region, and also to the Greek that picked it up from those people from Egypt. But it is believed that he was the one, Abram, because he said that he was knowledgeable in the arts of the stars. So we're going to pick up this story and we're going to talk, read it. It says, on this journey from Canaan to Egypt, Abram first observed the beauty of Sarah. Chaste as he was, he had never before looked at her, but now when they were wading through a stream, he saw the reflection of her beauty in the water like the brilliance of a sun. Wherefore he spoke to her, "Thus the Egyptians are very sensual, and I will put thee in a casket that no harm befall me according on account of view." And at the Egyptian boundary where they were paying taxes, the tax collectors asked him about the content in the casket, and Abram told them, he says, it's, you know, he kept saying barley, it's everything, and everything that they kept saying, he said, I'll pay the taxes. So they figured that there was something precious, more precious than all of these things. It says, when it was forced open, they eventually forced open the casket, according to this. The Egyptian was, they saw the beauty of Sarah in comparison with all the other beauties. They looked like apes compared to her. This is what I'm reading. She excelled even more so beautiful than Eve. The servants of Pharaoh outbid one another, seeking to obtain possession of her, though they were of opinion that her radiance was so beautiful that it did not ought to remain the property of private individuals. So they took this woman to Pharaoh. Amidst tears, Abraham offered up a prayer. So they brought her to Pharaoh. Pharaoh takes her. And so Abraham now regrets what he's doing. He's afraid, and he begins to pray. He offers up a prayer. He entreats God with these words: "Is this the reward of my confidence in you? For the sake of thy grace and thy loving kindness, let not my hope be put to shame." Sarah also implored God. So he's praying, Sarah's praying. "Oh God, you did bring my Lord Abraham. You told him to leave his home, the land of his father, and come to Canaan. And you promised him that you'll do good unto him, fulfill your commandment. And now we have done as thou said, and we came to this country, and now these people are going to take us and do this deed to us," as she began to pray. And so it says, as Sarah prays, an angel appeared unto Sarah while she was in the presence of the king, to whom he was not visible. So she is the only one that can see this this angel. And he bade her to take courage, saying, "Fear not, Sarah, for God has heard your prayer." The king questioned Sarah as to the man in the company of whom she had come to Egypt, and Sarah called Abram her brother. And Pharaoh pledged himself to make Abram great and powerful, to do for him whatever she wishes. He sent much gold, silver to Abram, diamonds, pearls, sheep, oxen, men slave, women slave, and he assigned a resident to him within the precinct of the royal palace. In the love of her broke Sarah, he wrote out a marriage contract, deeding to her all he owed in the way of gold and silver, man slave, women slave, and the province of Goshen, besides the province occupied in the latter days by Sarah's descendant. He is smitten by her. And it tells us that he also gave his own daughter, Hagar, as slave, for he preferred to see his daughter, the servant of Sarah, to reigning as mistress in other harem. So Pharaoh sees the beauty in Sarah, and he is smitten, and he's giving her everything that he got. He's giving Abram everything that he got. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without any painful toil. And so even amongst sin, God was able to bless this. The blessing is in work, even amongst this sin that they have committed, which is lying, but the blessing is still working. So I'm going to do a study about the blessing. So hang in there, guys. I just wanted to bring these things to you and show you what was going on. And yet the blessing is working. And the Bible tells us that it comes in our life as well as we are born again. And so we do not utilize it. And we utilize anything that is spiritual by faith, because we are born into a different kingdom, and we no longer operate by the five senses, we operate by faith. And we'll see that as I begin to talk to you a little about Abraham, why God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and what God began to do in his life. But I wanted to continue about this thing that happened with Sarah. Anyway, horrified by a plague that was sent to Pharaoh, inquired from his priests and everything, you know. He brought them all and he says, "Find out what's going on, guys. There's a plague upon us." And he sent, and they figured out what it was. And so because of the sin, the lie that they had cocked up, they caused, and what Sarah, what Pharaoh did, caused this plague to come, because he wants to marry this woman and touch this woman. And so he sent Abram and Sarah. And he says he sent Abram and returned his wife to him, and untouched, because again, the angel just kept knocking on, hitting him every time he touched her. So I'll read that part so you guys could see. And so his hand, he handed generosity, availed nothing. During the night, when he was about to approach Sarah, an angel appeared armed with a stick. And if Pharaoh tried to touch his shoes to remove it from her foot, the angels would plant a blow on his hand. When he grasped her dress, the second blow followed, and each blow was about to deal. The angel asked Sarah whether he was to let it descend, and she bade him to give Pharaoh a moment to recover. So she's seeing this angel, he is not. And he waited, and another great miracle came. It says, and Pharaoh and his nobles and his servants, the very wall of his house and his bed were afflicted with leprosy, and he could not indulge with carnal desires. This night in which Pharaoh and his court suffered their well-deserved punishment, it is believed on the night of the 15th of Nisan, the same night where God visited the Egyptian in latter times in order to redeem Israel. So this is the same night they believe that God came within with Moses and freed the people and gave another plague upon the people of Egypt. Horrified by the plague, Pharaoh sends his people. They find out that that they lied. He gives him his wife and he tells them, get out. Get out of my country, man. And but it is, as I mentioned earlier, it's believed that Abraham, when he came to Egypt, he was the one that had brought all the knowledge of the astrology, because he was gifted in that. It is believed that he was the one that had brought that knowledge to them. As a result, it spread across Europe. And we talked about several other invention that is earlier podcast to talk about a couple of other invention that is ascribed to Abraham. So this is where they're at in Egypt, guys, and I wanted to give you a backstory as to that so that you can see for yourself that there's a lot happening that the Bible does not go into. And it's good stuff, because it's a shame, you know, I believe, because when the church fathers at Nicene Council took away all of the book of Jasher, the book of Jubilees and Enoch and all of these things, it is still my belief that a lot of knowledge was taken away so that you and I could get a better understanding of the Word of God and the stories that these men and women had in their life, because these are just common people that God was taking and now began to bring through. Because you have to remember that promise that was given in Genesis when God said that Lucifer's kingdom will be destroyed by this wounded descendant, because it says that he would damage his heel, and so we have this wounded, this prophecy of a wounded person that will deliver the world. And that wounded person, as we know, was Jesus Christ when they hung him on a cross. Had Lucifer had an understanding that he would lose everything at the cross, I guarantee you guys, he would not have killed him. He would not have killed that Jesus Christ. I mean, it does make sense, right? That he would not have killed him had he known that he would have lost it all right here. So we see that this is the backstory, as I mentioned, that happened in Egypt. He goes there, they lie. he obtains a lot of wealth. Hagar is given to Sarai. We know now that Hagar was one of Pharaoh's daughter, and we do not know that in the Bible. I don't think it's mentioned in the Bible that she is his daughter, but we get a chance to see again some backstory, and we begin to understand that this has a great deal to do with God's story. So there's another, in the book of Jasher, it talks about another man and how this guy leaves Rikion, how he leaves and he goes to Egypt. And then actually a deed that he does causes, he was the first man that started, he was a poor man. He said he wanted to figure out how to get rich. So he goes to Egypt. He gets into a couple of businesses. It didn't work out. And he grabbed a couple of men. I think it was 30 men, and he went at the graveyard and started taxing people to bury their dead. And as a result of taxing people to bury their dead, he became very rich. It was a custom that Pharaoh, that the king at the time, he wasn't called Pharaoh, the king, he would come once a year to his people, and this king was there, and the king came out to talk to his people. His people began to complain that, why is he taxing people to bury the dead? The king finds out. He calls this man before him. He comes. But when the man is coming, he brings a lot of wealth, and he presents it to the king. And the king at the time liked him because the guy knew how to talk. And the people, the princes of the people, liked him because he had the gift of gab, as they said. And they liked him, and the title Pharaoh was bestowed upon him. And that was the birth of where that came from in our studies. But I just want to give you some backstory for that. And I apologize that we are only here at age 75. And 76, we didn't get to the rest yet. We're going to pick up those in the next podcast. But I thank you guys. I thank you, those for supporting me. I really appreciate you. Thank you for your support, because it helps me with gathering books and studying so that I can bring all these things to you guys. And I want to make sure that this content keeps growing. And so I thank you so much for all your support. Those who would like to support me, just click and go to PayPal right now and support me that way. But thank you so much. And we're going to continue to do our study on Abram, because this man has a lot happened to him. And we are going to, I told you we're going to do some side ventures. One of the side ventures that we're going to take is on the blessing. And once I get to age 78, because I want to get to there probably in the next podcast, that podcast after that, I'm going to focus on the blessing. So we are going to continue his life. We're going to learn. And when God began to change his name and all of those things, then you and I again are going to do another side venture. We're going to talk about what that meant, what God was doing when he did that, so that you will get a fullness of and the richness that is in Abram.
Thank you for listening to Mystery Bible. Let's walk through the Bible and learn of God and his beautiful mercies and all that he has provided for us, that we may become effective for his kingdom and change this world. Check in every week for a new episode. Search for Mystery Bible on Anchor FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Breaker, Outcasts, Radio Public, and many more.
If you're listening to this podcast, you must recognize the value of asking questions. At Aramco, our questions help us engineer a better future. How can today's resources fuel our shared tomorrow? How can we deliver energy to a world that can't stop? How can we deliver one of the fuels of the future? How can we sow curiosity to harvest ingenuity? To learn more about how innovation drives us forward, visit aramco.com/poweredbyhow.
Thank you for listening to Mystery Bible. Let's walk through the Bible and learn of God and His beautiful mercies and all that He has provided for us, that we may become effective for His kingdom and change this world. Check in every week for a new episode.